Remember when Mike farted near Liz? Was that funny? I don't know. I've got fucking Stockholm syndrome after all this. Yes, this is now week four of the off-center experiment, as we are joined by Alex White for this week's episode of...
Well, we'll just tell your mother that, we ate it all.
We got a great question to ask Hasten to the top of the pod.
Check one poob. check one poob.
Jamie said that about 10 seconds ago.
We heard
Hastings walking up to the microphone.
We heard.
By the way, Jamie were walking up the stairs and Jamie was like, we should ask Hastings about it. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. So, you know, if I'm...
The roles were reversed. You said that and I said, I don't know. And I said, I can probably do it.
It's not that bad, but it's...
Okay, anyway. Go on.
It was just like about you when you were a nascent comedian.
What?
You know, like a young comedian about 14, 15 years ago.
Yeah, 25 years ago when I was new to comedy.
Starting open mics. You know,
yeah.
So cutting your teeth.
You, yeah. Jackson Stewart.
If anything, this comedy needs more talking about open mic comedy. So yeah. I'm glad we're going there. Yeah.
That you used to do a bit... Where
oh,
you
God.
Talked about being depressed.
I did a lot of bits about that.
Yeah. We know that.
Is this High Depressed I'm Dead?
No.
No.
It's a good bit.
If only.
Yeah.
That was a bit.
So it's a bit about like you being despondent and depressed and like not bit, like laying around doing nothing, but then you like cooked eggs.
No, I don't think
and you said
me.
You had an existential crisis.
Oh yeah, fuck! That was like 10 years ago. God, I forgot all about that.
No, not me.
No, because I thought about it because I don't eat eggs. So I was like, I don't like. I just don't like.
Ah, damn, that's
eggs.
So good.
I would be capable of that sort of a joke, but no.
No, I forgot about it until the existential crisis. Yeah, no, you're right.
So
it was all just
do
a pun.
The bit.
I do not remember the bit.
Okay. So.
The punchline was a pun on eggs and existential crises. Yeah.
So the punchline was not existential crisis.
No, I think it was.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure it was. Oh, I don't remember the bit, though. It was a very,
like,
very...
There was time. Like a moment where I was like, I don't think...
Oh. Yeah, how about we bring up bits you guys wrote 10 years ago?
Well, I wasn't doing comedy 10 years ago.
All right, fair enough. It was also, I think, 9 years ago. But yeah,
it was more like 3 years ago.
Yeah. Or I did it at Crown last week.
No, the why we were laughing, it wasn't a hasty.
Yeah, it didn't sound like you.
It didn't sound like
how do you two know about that bit if you haven't been?
Zach Hutchinson told it.
What the fuck is happening? You guys bitching behind my back about bits from 9 fucking years ago?
No, well, we weren't there.
Like, I'm the only person who might have heard it.
Why is it worth repeating? What is it? It's a bad bit from 9 years
ago. Well, he said it, and we were like, that doesn't... Well, we were like, that doesn't sound like a Hastings bit.
Something and he was like, Roxbury or something?
Yeah, Roxbury.
Oh, I was at his first ever gig.
That's the story.
Yeah. But he was just like, it hastened to that existential crisis bit.
Yeah, and we were like,
that wasn't like a classic bit. That was like a. Yeah, I did that bit maybe.
That bit? And then we're like, that does not sound like a Hastings.
I reckon I did that bit 8 times.
Right.
Yeah.
Did it do well?
I can't remember. Probably not. I don't remember.
That
where would you have done it?
Back then,
the
mostly
rocks.
Comedy on the Edge.
Power Bomb Comedy Festival 1.
I was doing a lot of Comedy on the Edge and Roxbury and a bit of... what else was going on? Baldface Stag had this shitty gig. There was one at what's now... What's that pub on Parramatta Road in Petersham near Crystal Street?
The Petersham Inn.
Yeah, Petersham Inn. They used to have a gig.
They
there.
Used to have stand up.
Really?
It was like they did like a rebrand.
But they did
and
like
a renovation.
Strip club
so this is before
stuff.
The renovation. I'm pretty sure it was the same venue across the road from the Stag, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was there. It was yeah. It was called like the White House or something.
So Jared Keane ran it.
Yes. More inside. More.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, I think it might have been. Before your time,
probably
somehow.
I think
in that will, 6 months, like
probably. How long did it run for, though?
I don't. It was literally a decade ago.
We're talking about Edge today and how good it was because it was like this cross between new comics, so people that we're friends with that were all new at the time, and then this old guard of weirdos that would come in, and there was like, and that guy who would do impressions all the time, and all these bits were just. an excuse to do an impression. We'd be like, I was at the bar and Sylvester Stallone walked in.
Yeah,
it's just stupid bits like that.
Hello, Orcs Lager.
Guys, where they're going, like, this guy seems like really stupid. The bits don't make sense. Then you look it up. It's like he won Raw in 1994. Yeah. Like,
who did?
I'm not naming any names. Yeah. Details here.
Also, like, a lot of the point was that, like, these people would, like, watch these new comics at Edge, like, all of us, essentially, and be like, these fucking people suck.
Comedy
is terrible. And then they got up there and be like, hey, I'm Donald Trump. As if I'm Richard Nixon, I am not a crook. Like,
Donald Trump just doing it as the apprentice impression.
Real estate mogul?
Yeah.
It's like Lee Harvey Oswald was like, you're fired. I was in the back of the head.
I literally was there and a guy told a joke and then someone was like, hey, you know, because you get feedback, and someone was like, oh yeah, that's a joke from the two Ronnies. Like, they said
Jesus
that.
Christ.
And then he was like, oh.
What the fuck do you know about?
Yeah. And it's like, and then the guy.
And then he starts doing Ronnie Corbett.
You know the Tim Robinson sketch with Tim Heidecker in it? That's their Colgate Comedy Hour. You know, the two Ronnies.
The
two Ronnies was very big, but like, fuck, it's old.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
That's
old.
Right.
Well, Colgate Comedy Hour was big.
My dad would be like, yeah, my dad used to watch that. You know what I mean? Like, it's his old. It's be like, you know what I mean?
Like, one of them would be dead.
Yeah.
One of the two Ronnies.
Of course.
And Ronnie Corbett not far behind.
No.
I think Ronnie Barker died quite a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Mm, the day the laughter died.
I was going to say the same thing.
But they just had all those old hacky jokes. And then people would go and do it at Edge, and they'd be like 40 years old in marketing doing bits from the two Ronnies. And it's like, what are you doing with this?
I have a question that this applies to everyone. And I think maybe this is already your answer, the two Ronnies thing. What's the worst piece of advice you've ever got about, like, a single bit? Like, not like, here's what you should do in comedy, but like, here's a way to make that bit better.
Ooh.
Yeah, I got one.
Go for it, please.
I was told that you shouldn't talk about jerking off on stage because it forces the audience to picture it and people don't like that. And since then, and at the time I was being like, huh, that's an interesting point.
That is kind of one that's like, makes sense.
It makes sense. That's what I mean. Because I was like, that kind of makes sense. And then since then, I've seen every comedian on earth ignore that and it'd been
fine.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah. Some comedians have made careers off
it. Yeah. Not me, but I certainly gave it a red hot go.
I got told not to do egg puns. And, I was like, that was a boat miss.
Like, terrible.
Rose, do you have one?
I don't know if I really do, but I have, like, you asking that question jogged my memory of this. Is like, I'm like, you all know how gullible I am. Like,
yes,
you know,
yes.
Alex riles me up all the time.
Oh yes, yes. Of course.
it's like sport.
But years ago, a friend. His like older brother told us this story and like passed it off as his own, and he was like, it was like a good storyteller. So I'm like, oh man, like that must be true. And then I started doing comedy and I talked to him and I was like, can I say that on stage? And he obviously has no idea how comedy works, so he's just like, yeah. So I was doing it, and it was like, you know that like old street joke about like a bunch of people, as I later found out that it was an old street joke. It's like people in a bar and like Sean Connery walks in and then they're asking who his favorite route was, and he ends up walking out saying Twiggy 1984 up the ass.
Yeah.
I did that a few times.
I had a similar thing where a friend of mine told me a story where he was like, take my wife, please. And I was like, can I have that?
Someone once told me they get
can
no
I have that? Your wife.
Someone once told me they get no respect. And I was like, I got to take that bad boy.
But I did it a couple of times, and then I won't name this person, but an older comic came up and was like,
Steph,
hey,
no. Isn't she like 18 months older than you?
18 years,
18 decades, dude.
This is like years ago as well, like within the first year of doing comedy. But,
fuck yeah,
older comic up the back of the room comes up and says, like, hey, you shouldn't do that bit. I don't know who told you. Like, that's a true story, because it's not. And, like, just any time I ever hear that, I'm like, well, fucking, I'm dropping it immediately. Like, never want to do bit theft or whatever. And then later on the same gig, and I've seen them do it multiple times since, they went up and did the bit about Bono being at...
AIDS.
Every time I click my fingers, someone at the front says,
that's
stop clicking your fucking fingers then. And I'm like... Motherfucker, that is one of the street jokes around.
That Bono that Bono joke was originally a Bob Geldof joke. That's how old that joke is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I'm just like, you didn't write that joke. Yeah.
All right, that's should we name who gave us the advice?
Wait, Al, do you have one?
I don't have...
Because I do have
one. I do have a particular bit of advice. I might have one, but what popped in my head was I heard someone be like, never admit you're not a comic on stage. Like, never say you have a job.
Never reference having a job.
I have had that said to me by, shit. I assume we're talking about the same person.
Yeah. And I actually never got
a guy who's never needed to have a job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What you got to do is you got to make the audience think your dad pays your rent.
Yeah, exactly. Which like
nothing makes an audience respect you more
than when your dad pays your rent.
Any bad advice? I
knowing
got
that
would
your
have
dad,
always been
the most famous
him.
Lion yeah. of all,
and just the idea that like because it's so stupid to be like.
I love Mogul.
What? Because what?
Me too, dude.
He's a good guy, but it is funny. Oh, I was just like, I was.
We were just thinking about something else.
Yeah, me and Hastings were just laughing about something. No.
But even if you're like, okay, don't ever talk about having it. It's just so like that's 90% of the way to connect with the people in the fucking audience. Is everyone has a fucking job? That's the
that's
one.
That's exactly
thing.
What I said to them. Is yeah. Yeah. Like people like being able to relate to things. It's other people relatable. Work. It's like not everyone is a fucking comedian.
Yeah, everyone has a relationship or has had one, and everyone has a job yeah. or has had one. It's a two fucking thing. Mm. Your parents. It's like that's the only.
I once read yeah. a criticism ridiculous. Of the show Big Mouth online that was like, why do all these adults want to watch shows about teenagers going through puberty? That's so weird. Why would they want to do that? I'm like, cunt, it's literally the most universal human experience. Yeah. Every person
did it,
does
except
it.
For people who, you know, died before they got there, but yeah. they're not fucking alive to watch it either.
I don't count you as a person if you don't live to 13, so that's my rule. It's a Jewish thing.
I remember I had one.
Really pro-choice.
I remember doing, I did terrorist comedy, like, way back in the day, and I had a joke where, like the punchline was, like, about, like, the video game Streets of Rage.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, it did, like, fine enough, and then, like, the comedian in question afterwards was like, Streets of Rage, nice reference. And I was like, oh, sick, another nerd. You know? Like, it was like,
let's go in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I wonder if the comedian who gave you your thing was the same comedian who gave me my advice.
Well, maybe, listen, maybe you'll find out in a second. And then, like, this comedian was like, oh, maybe with the Streets of Rage thing, you could go a little deeper. And, like, just started naming all these examples that were, like, word for word Pete Holmes jokes.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I know that
he
bit,
was like,
yeah.
What about like eating a whole chicken?
Yeah,
and I like
yeah.
had to be like,
you just find an apple.
Yeah, and I had to be like, well, that's Pete Holmes.
Yeah.
And he was just like, well, what about if it's like an apple?
Like, yeah, so I know
that's the
bit.
Other reference from that Pete Holmes.
So eventually yeah. I was just like, yeah, okay. Dude.
Yeah. I think I'll say it because I'll say it this way. Kugel once tried to.
Oh, yeah. Who gives a fuck about him? Yeah.
You don't want to rub him the wrong way.
I'm not even ragging on him, but he once, you know, that fucking Mario Kart joke he used to have. He once was like.
I couldn't remember any of his jokes.
No, this is Alex's bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mario Kart joke.
Yeah, no,
about,
of course
like,
we all remember.
Oh, yeah, no, actually. Yeah,
classic
yeah, yeah.
bits from the Alex White oeuvre. We
yeah,
all.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they're not fucking egg look, pun, bitch.
Soy or nothing.
But then he was like, that's really funny because it's, you know, about Bowser doing, you know, Mario Kart with Mario, and he's like, yeah, you should bring like Donkey Kong into it. You know what I mean? It's like,
he just remembered a third character.
Yeah, exactly.
What if the Shy Guy
expand the universe a little?
Exactly.
The joke.
I'm like, no, dude,
what if he made it about Mario Kart 64?
It's already like
he just wants your joke to be Smash Brothers,
and then he's just standing there going, Toad.
Yeah.
Like, what if Sonic was in it and Metal Snake?
I'm going to go home and write some fiction.
Yeah.
Toad Lives Matter.
It is fan fiction bits. And I'm like, that's not going to help, dude. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not,
just
it's
convoluting
not,
the party.
I'm not going to say the bit's amazing, but it's certainly going to fucking help by adding another fucking character to it.
Did people also do that and come up and list other soy products to you?
No, someone did once a similar, another bit where they were like, oh.
I have a great Alex White soy story, actually.
Oh, yeah?
One time, me and Alex.
Do we need a bit of context for what, like.
Alex has a joke.
Al had a bit about the difference between soy sauce and soy milk.
Yeah. That's it.
The joke is that they are different.
They are. Yeah. Joke is that they're different and you don't think about it until you say it.
So one time, me and Alex got booked for this fucking gig in DY, which is like which is like an hour away.
And by the way, this is like
I lived in DY for 3 years.
Like 2 years
he was looking at me. I also know where DY is.
We're probably like 2 or 3 years in, and it was like Jamie was going to MC. I was going to
No, I wasn't going to MC.
Well, you're going to do a spot?
We were both doing spots. The MC and headliner.
What gig was this?
It was. Yeah, it was Pat Doherty. It was a DY,
DY Hotel?
I think it was DY Hotel, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they did really good burgers.
The pub sucks.
Oh, yeah, I vaguely remember him doing that.
Yeah.
I didn't do it.
So we drove up there. I think we drove up there separately, right?
I don't remember. Yeah, maybe.
But it's like an hour and a bit drive to get there. It's like pretty long, and like two other comics. There was a headliner and an MC.
What year was this?
This maybe 2-3 years ago.
I reckon it was at least... 3 years. I remember being
I thought it was like 2016 maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe 17.
It was before Powerbomb as a gig.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was
but we were already like friends then.
We were friends, but we weren't comedians who would like emceeing would be a big deal for us then.
Yeah.
At that gig, right? So yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd done it like a couple of times, but I like so whatever. Like
I lived in DY, I never did the gig. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
You didn't live in DY at the time.
You didn't live in DY then.
I probably lived in Manly Vale, which is pretty close.
No, I think you were living in Mossman by that point.
Still pretty close.
Yeah, they don't often book gigs by who lives nearby, by the way.
Yeah, you do have to remember as well who they said booked the gig.
Yeah. Andrew Hastings, I've heard he lives close.
I assumed I only got on at Everly because I live nearby.
I only get on at Everly because I just hang outside the room.
Yeah, assuming that would assume you get on at Everly.
I used to get on before, you know.
Before Caution Outlawed.
Yeah, I get off at Everly.
So we
you'll
up.
All get to do Everly. Yeah. I'm going to book you all. Don't worry.
No, you're not allowed to book.
Maybe. Yeah.
I wasn't actually
not allowed
worried.
To book Rose.
Why not?
Alex is already.
I'm cursed. Every time I'm officially booked, Rose, no one turns up.
Rose has to show up on the day and do it. Alex has already been booked. Hastings, your time will come.
Yeah, we'll see.
Anyway, you're going to this DY gig.
We're going to this DY gig, and like I think about an hour before I'm about to drive, Pat was like, can you MC? Whoever's MC just pulled out. And I was like, okay. And he was like, this is the person we got, like, we've got two people supporting, and we got a headliner. One of them was Alex. So I was like, that sounds like a lot of fun. We get there. DY Hotel, Hastings, you probably know. It's massive.
It's huge.
It's
like a mega pub.
It's one of those coasty / suburban, like just enormous entertainment complex things.
Pub.
There's a million.
Like there's so many people.
Oh, that'd be
Shire
maybe DYRSL.
No, it was DY Hotel.
It's like a huge thing. Like the Stain is kind of a mega pub.
Yeah.
DY Hotel's smaller than the pub.
There's like
but
a
the
million
by beer.
Nooks and crannies and little small bars.
It's got like weird lounges hidden away where you can finger people and stuff.
So we like had a little look.
We fingered each other.
Yeah, we fingered each other. We had a little look for the booker because it like again the pub was huge. Eventually we kind of like came because we were looking for like separate rooms, you know, because when we first got there we were like, well, the main bar is huge, like at least it will not be in the main bar. And then we kind of got to like a place like just to the left of the main bar that was kind of like cordoned off by like, you know, those old timey things that women get dressed behind in sitcoms.
They're like paper
a clothes screen.
It was like separated by that, and then there were like some bookshelves there, so it was like kind of like its own little room but not really. And we find the booker and we're like, hey man, how's it going? And he's like, yeah, good, like bit of a problem. MC, as you know, is not coming. And I'm like, yep, cool. And he's like,
why as you know?
Well, because he'd said like before,
Jamie was
the
replacement.
MC? And then he was like, but the other support act also isn't coming. And
no, the headliner isn't coming.
Well, no, both. There were two other support act. There was another support act as well.
Yeah,
because,
but like we were both booked as support acts.
Yeah.
So we turn up. And the long end of it is we're the only two people on the fucking show.
Yeah.
So the headliner, whoever's like, it might have been another support. But
and you probably
like,
don't have quite have like, what, let's say half hour of like
not really.
Gold.
Well, I mean, we've never been in this position before, right? Like we're not in a position to.
They didn't yet have Hastings' phone number to tell him to come down to a spot.
Hastings is, you know, it didn't pay his up to spill that money. He's like, I'm going to ring him 3 more times and then I'm moving on.
Hastings to us at that point was an aspirational get.
I was just at home. I'm furious that I wasn't booked.
We didn't, we were just like, man, if Hastings would do it, that would really
like
make our day.
An exceptional comedian.
Oh my God.
And so then, Pat.
And so like, if you know the booker, he's like one of the most positive, like golden retriever, like cunts. Like,
oh, he is a proper Labrador.
And so like, we've got like maybe 5 people in there and Pat's like, oh, that's good. it's going to go. We're like, there's two of us.
Yeah.
And now we're like, what do you want us to do? And this was like before. He would, like, usually at that point, he'd be like, all right, I'll MC and I'll do 75 minutes. But this time he was like, I don't want to perform. He was like, it's just you two. And I was like, so what?
Yeah,
I
he wasn't quite so confident early on.
So I was like, what? I MC. And Pat was like, yes. And he was like, and I bring Alex on.
Mm.
And he was like, yes. And then I was like, and then after that, it's done.
he's like, yes. Yeah, just do as long as you can.
Yeah. So
that was the
So it was just like, I'm opening. You know?
Well, here's a question.
It was a split bill.
You
can't MC when there's no one after the opener.
Yeah.
Right.
How much, if anything, did the five or whatever audience members pay to be there?
Nothing.
It was free.
But
he did
go around and say, we've had, you know, whatever drop out, there's only two acts, so you guys still want this show to go on. He said something along those lines,
which
always makes you feel more comfortable as a comic.
Yeah, you're like, we've only got two acts, and they're not that experienced.
Yeah, that's right. They can't do that
To be fair to Pat, who booked it, he did end up going to all the people he roped in as well, being like, the headliner and MC have bailed. Like, it's just these two guys. Are you cool? Point at me and Alex, and we'd be like, hi.
Going up to a buddy, being like, talking about for a girl, being like, do you like my buddy?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you like my buddy over there?
Yeah.
Do you still want to show yes, no,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, may
and
show,
to
maybe.
Be fair, like, and they ruled.
They were pretty good. Yeah,
like,
it was great.
Like, it wasn't like, you know, a wall-to-wall crush fest because it was five people and you could clearly hear the rest of the bar having a good time ignoring the stand-up. But, like,
we did 20 minutes.
They
each.
Were good sports. Yeah, we did, like, 20 minutes.
So long.
And Alex did his soy milk, soy sauce bit. And eventually, like, one of the guys got up.
Oh, I forgot the purpose of this
story.
Yeah.
One of the guys got up. And, like, left, and we're like, oh, fuck, like, we walked one. And then, but, like, he came back with a shot of soy milk.
And made me do it.
And made Alex do it on stage.
And I'm like, this is revolting.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Would you rather do a shot of soy milk or soy sauce?
Oh, for sure soy milk. Come on, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I
think I'd rather do soy sauce.
But it was one of those gigs where we were literally, I don't know about you, Jamie, but I remember being like, all right, what else jokes have I ever said out loud?
Yeah.
What about this one?
Yeah.
And they were loving it because we had already just been like, whatever, this is so weird.
I think we did set a precedent because, like, I was like, I'm out. Like, what do you guys want to hear about?
Yeah.
And so we just kind of, like, riff with them and, like, we're like, this one's fucking old as shit. Are you cool with it?
Mm.
And they were fine.
It was one of those.
And we both got paid to do it.
Yeah.
That's
and it was one of those ones where it's like, it could have been a nightmare and it was a great time. And I've had a lot of gigs where you go, and I call back to that moment when you turn up and you go, whatever, straight in the trenches, this will be great. You turn up there, it's like, well, this, and then
you
it's
turn up, you're at Waywards, the marquee says Andrew Hastings.
Yeah, we'll win them back. And then it's a fucking, but that was. That
I'm
was
a very a good comedian. Like, worked hard at my craft for a long time.
I said MC.
I
worked.
I'm a competent MC.
Yeah, and sorry, did you say you worked hard at your craft?
I work hard. It just doesn't, my hard
Do
work
you
maybe
work
just looks
hard?
Different from your guys' hard
you work.
Work
very hard.
I do work hard.
He's an excellent comedian.
Exemplary.
Oh, my God.
Should we get into this thing?
No, I have something on soy milk real quick.
Okay.
I was consuming some pornography the other day, as is my wont. And it was a video of a girl doing stuff with, like, soy sauce. Like, she gave herself, like, a soy sauce. Not soy sauce, sorry. Soy milk. Sorry, I should clarify.
Yeah, soy sauce is very different.
Different.
She was, like,
yeah.
like, she was, like, putting, like, soy milk up herself.
Why?
I guess because it's white. I don't know.
Oh,
no,
so,
it's like what
it's
is
like
that? Like a vegan
she was also,
milk
was she,
bullshit?
Yeah, she is vegan. But she was
so
pouring.
It's like a vegan cum show.
So I follow her on OnlyFans. It wasn't sought out. And she was, doing like a whole thing with
So when
with
you follow someone on OnlyFans, you have to pay?
Yeah.
It's like a subscription
Do you pay
service.
For her?
I pay for a few people.
How many?
People? Four, I
how
think.
How much money is that?
They're like, vary from, I think, like $7 to $15 a month.
And how many of them are peripherally
like
involved
Netflix
with the comedy scene?
Yeah, that's a lot.
Zero are involved with comedy.
My friend,
peripherally, though?
20.
Zero.
Fuck, she better drop the goods. Like, how was she?
She showed me some of the goods, and that, like, it's not bad.
But, like, is there a lot?
She puts a fuckload of content on
it. It varies content creator to content creator. But
you're gonna charge $20 a month.
Yeah.
She puts a heap. She's like, she does like two or three photo shoots a week. Like, because, like,
fair enough,
it's just pervy photographers who want to take photos of sex workers. Like,
yeah, whatever. I mean, like, you should support people if they're doing that. But I feel like, you know, if you're going to spend $50 a month on it, it's like
one of the people I follow, I get a bit like, all right, for this price, you should be posting more often.
Yeah,
so but like, subscribe. This
price, you should have, no, but that it's the person I want to see the stuff of the most.
Show us. I'm surprised you haven't ever considered getting an OnlyFans.
I've considered it.
Yeah, surely he has.
Who would pay for it?
You seem to think that you have a niche.
Yeah, as that in, you're like,
aren't you
niche
buff
for
now?
Girls I can fuck on Tinder, not a niche to monetize my body.
The rumor is that Hastings is buff now.
Hastings was buff, and then Hastings lost it all over
revolting.
COVID.
He was like,
though I am buff again.
Trying
now.
To do like little like.
I was doing
sit up things
doing,
in my kitchen before.
I was working out in Rose's kitchen.
Like,
just
he's like, "Oh God, I'm so buff."
That is
really,
true.
Like you couldn't have got here quick enough.
Yeah. Well, I was like super fucking buff before COVID, and now I'm just like regular buff. Now I'm just like
you don't approach buff in any way.
I was like Super Saiyan Goku before COVID, and now I'm just like regular Goku.
You are ruining this for me because Alex is
Hastings said he's buff, and then James is like. No, he's not. It's a bit.
No, I didn't say no, he's not. I didn't say no, he's not. I said Hastings is doing it as a bit. He doesn't think he's like super
No,
buff.
I genuinely think I'm the size of Super Saiyan Goku. No, what are you talking about?
And to be fair, I was just saying that Hastings is like buff. He's been working out and stuff. You know,
Alex,
stuff.
I weigh 62 kilos. Yeah, I know I'm not buff.
I wasn't like ripping on you, but you
That's
were
how
saying
much a girl weighs.
But dude, I said I the word buff, and you said he doesn't think he's buff. And you were saying it's a bit. I'm like,
I was saying.
So
that
what
he
is the question? Is it a bit?
Yes.
Well, that would ruin the bit.
Yeah, it's a bit.
I weigh 64 kilos. I know I'm not massive.
No, I know.
You just added 2 kilos to the last number you gave.
I was telling the truth the second time.
I know I'm 84 kilos.
Yeah, 62 is what I was at, like, not long after the appendix out. I'm 64 at the moment.
All right, let's get into
post bouldering.
Okay, let's get into it. Welcome to We'll Just Tell Your Mother. We added all the podcasts about teen sex comedies and things thereabouts and things very much
and
not thereabouts.
Huge.
It is week 4 of the off-center experiment where we watch every episode of the failed WB sitcom off-center. This week we watched episode 10, Guy Gone Wild, episode 11, The Good, the Bad, and the Lazy, and episode 12, The Gas Crisis. I am Rose Piper.
You're really skinny.
And we are joined by my co-hosts,
Jamie Kirk.
And shirtless Andrew Hastings.
And we're joined by the returning champion, maybe the most tenured guest on the pod at this point, Alex White.
Male. Most tenured male, maybe. Alex White. Steph's been on more, right?
Well, maybe you're now even with her and Bensley.
Hastings almost has cum gutters.
Thank you. I almost had cum gutters before COVID, too.
You do get cum
you
gutters
also
just
have
from being skinny.
Here,
I used to have cum gutters when
I
was younger.
Just, no. That's the creases
to be
in my
fair,
stomach.
He's just got cum in his belly button.
Oh, man, do you guys want to see my scars?
It's more a cum drain.
I got appendix scars. I got one in my belly button, and I got one.
That's a second.
That's the other. Oh, there's also one like just above my dick.
I got one.
No, that's
here.
Your urethra.
Girls love scars, you know.
They'd be like, this is the scar.
Not emotional ones.
Do you
want
to know how I got these scars? Yeah, I shit myself in a hospital bed like 3 times.
I was thinking like, just like being like, oh yeah, this is my appendicitis scar above my dick there. It's like, Andrew, that's a vagina and a clitoris. What are you?
That's pretty funny.
Okay, episode synopses. Episode 10, Mike learns about Liz's wild past and sets out to do things he missed out on.
Great episode.
When he was growing up. Things take an uncomfortable turn after Mike and Liz have sex at the office when they discover there are surveillance cameras. Episode 11.
Woo!
Should we go ep by ep? Or just,
yeah, one at a time.
Okay, let's do that one.
Alex, you'd never seen Off Center before, had you?
This is the worst fucking show. Honestly, it may be the worst.
See,
show.
You were telling me about this, right? And it made me think for a second because you were like, it's one of the worst shows I've ever seen. And I thought, like, fair, it's bad.
Yeah, it's
but
really bad.
Then, like, but it's what sitcom is immediately great, I was thinking.
Community.
Arrested Development.
30 Rock.
Like, Parks and Rec.
No, Parks and Rec
is not.
Oh, famously season one shit.
Parks and Rec and The Office took one season, but still only 6 episodes. This is episode 10.
Hold on.
But also, like, the bad
camera or a laugh track style sitcom,
but
none of those are them. Right? That's a different genre of comedy.
Yeah. Friends.
Friends
isn't great season one.
No, but you'd much rather watch Friends than this.
Friends is so much funnier, and I'm not a big fan of Friends. But this
How
is
I Met Your
How
Mother,
I Met Your Mother
also
you
better.
Would also much rather watch than this, I think.
And I feel
right
like that canned laughter style it makes the writing be like in this weird, like, jokey way where it's like you got to end on a joke, but it doesn't have to be funny. You just have to sound like a joke.
Yeah.
Oh, I noticed that really starkly in like all three of these episodes is when there like is laughter, and I'm like, I don't think that was even a joke.
That was not a joke.
But they just put some canned laughter in there.
Exactly. And it changes the writing. Whereas if you're not doing a laugh track of a show, you can't do that. You have to make it either funny or just and not a joke. And just, you know, progressing the plot. And this is like, I feel like one of the biggest culprits of a show where they just like literally have so many laugh lines that are not funny.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And I was watching this, and I haven't watched a sitcom like this in a long time. I've been watching a bit of Seinfeld and stuff, and there's some like lines in Seinfeld that are just corny.
You
know,
it is one of these with Seinfeld
took about 9 episodes to get good as well.
Sure, but even in the good episodes, sometimes there's a couple of throwaway little.
Yeah, you know, whenever because they they have the advantage of the laugh track.
Yeah. Right, so they're like, oh, we haven't had a laugh in a minute. We got to. Someone's going to say something.
Whenever I watch Seinfeld, I have the same thing where I'll be watching. I'll be like, oh, this is genius. This is incredible. Then a line will come up, and I'll be like, oh, that's right. It's 1991. Like, it'll bring you back into time.
Have I ever brought this up on the pod? I used to live with this guy called Nick. Right, and we never figured out why. It's one of the most psycho things I've ever seen. Was like, and like, we like Nick. Nick's a good guy, but he used to watch Seinfeld, and he had like a book where he would tally every time someone got a laugh. So he just had like pages for like Jerry, Elaine, Graham.
So it was
George
based on character,
and then like other people or whatever, and then just like add a little tick, like every time they got a laugh or whatever. And I'm like, you know, it's a laugh track, dude. But like,
yeah.
Like they chose, but I like. I have no idea what the point of him doing this was. But he'd sit there, and it was like work.
Can I say what I think is interesting about this story to me, though, is if someone told me that story, I'd be like, oh, that's like incredibly Rose Piper behavior.
I was like, Rose, is your friend Nick you?
That's the most Rose Piper thing I've ever heard.
Also, that like...
Was she listening to UMI at the same time?
To be fair, interesting question that I think everyone should answer. If, and I'm going to do it with Seinfeld and like maybe Friends as well, if you were going to do laughs from the laugh track on a character-by-character basis, who in Seinfeld do you think would get the most?
George or... No, Jerry. Jerry gives himself a lot of laughs.
I think it might be George.
My guess would be George.
No, I mean Jerry's in more scenes than anyone.
Yeah, that's right? What I mean.
Like...
It's also you get the stand-up up front, and it's also a lot of the scenes...
Yeah, discounting the stand-up. It's all
Jerry's in scenes with Elaine. Jerry's in scene with George. Yep. George and Elaine are not in scenes together that often.
On top of that as well, a lot of the scenes, particularly in like the apartment, a lot of the scenes there is Jerry detached from the exposition dialogue that's happening between the characters, and he's kind of just doing weird, almost stand-up bits.
Well, he's a
just
straight
from
man.
George from the kitchen.
George does something crazy, and then Jerry's like, oh.
But that means in those lines, it's George will do something crazy, and then Jerry will roll his eyes, and Jerry gets to laugh. Yeah. That's like a common Seinfeld structure.
Okay, then who in Friends then? Because that's on
Chandler.
Joey absolutely gets the most laughs.
I think if you did it by 10 seasons and averaged it, it would be Gump. No. it would be Joey.
Yeah, I think Joey for sure.
But I think the thing with did it
I think
no
it would
show.
Start early. You'd like Chandler would rock it up.
Or Phoebe would also have a pretty high one, I think.
Yeah, I think the difference between
they don't give the girls as many laughs, I've noticed.
But Phoebe is more like
Monica has a period.
Aces doesn't think the girls are as funny. Okay. All right.
Well, it's not that I think the girls aren't as funny. I know that girls aren't funny.
Yeah, I knew you were going to fucking say that.
Yeah.
But like,
that was an excellent joke.
At some point,
ding ding ding.
Rose, at some point you got to stop taking credit for predicting my very predictable jokes. I'm a dog shit comedian. What do you want? Like,
that's what I wanted. I want it.
And that is the end of We'll Just Tell Your Mother We Ate It All.
We finally got what we wanted.
Put me in a podcast.
Thanks for stopping by, everybody.
To the last step. Yeah.
You created a podcast around me to make me realize how bad a comedian I am.
This is a Truman Show.
At the end you just warned this has been a fake podcast the whole time. We're just like, do it.
No, but to bring it back to the fucking she show.
Dog shit show.
Off center. Is that... Yeah. like Friends and all, they have corny lines, but the situations are funny, right?
Yeah.
Often, especially Seinfeld, the situations are hilarious, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And this show, it seems like there's no funny situations.
Yeah.
And there's just corny lines. And that is a whole, like if there was corny lines, but the first episode, is it the first episode where he's like jerking off on the couch?
Or well, Rose, can you remind us what happens in this episode quickly?
Well, that was the one where Mike and Liz
watched the Girls Gone Wild?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that...
Yeah, so Liz is a Girls Gone Wild.
That was the episode where Chow was staying on their couch.
I thought that was fun.
Can I...
The thing with Chow, I think...
The very end where Chow did all that stuff and then smiled because he was going to beat off in the couch.
Yeah. That's the best the show has been so far. Which is obviously so, like... obvious that he knows that.
But for a laugh track sitcom in 2002. Yeah.
I think that that's the best episode of the show I've seen so far, and that gag specifically with the couch and the jerking off is best joke of the
show. Also, like the pure
as a running thing, he's caught dead to rights. It's funny.
That was my.
It is a damning indictment on the overall quality.
He's got him dead to rights.
Also, like the pure escalation of Chow every time coming up with like
it's more obvious.
Yeah, where he's like, I took my sock off to blow my nose.
I'm a like gassy whatever. Because John Cho is a good performer.
Man. Yeah.
And like Chow was a character. I mean,
he's the best character.
Well, did you notice about this episode? Absolutely no status quo.
Yeah.
Just shafted.
Yeah.
Status quo gets a little bit of a bigger role in one of the
He's the black guy.
The rapper who's like really erudite.
Oh, is he?
He's a main character. Yeah. Lives and he's not even in that episode.
Yeah.
What if instead of being like a I don't see race guy, Alex was like a I don't see black people?
Status quo was never in an episode.
That's my sixth sense.
I was about to say I have a secret.
I don't see black people.
That would be very funny.
You can only see half of your partner.
It would make sense. Your name is Alex White.
Yeah, that is true.
So what's the other? So Chow beats off.
Also, by the way, Chow is a Vietnamese.
That's the B plot.
Yeah, John Cho's clearly South Korean or whatever. Like, it's so weird.
Well, he runs a Vietnamese restaurant in the show.
Yeah, it seems weird. Like, because back then that was just so cool. And nowadays you couldn't do that. You couldn't just cast a fucking South Korean guy as a... They just make him South Korean. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Weird. It's not like the audience fucking know the difference.
It's just so weird. Like, that's...
You know, three.
Also, it comes out that his name in this, and I'm not sure if it's a bit, but like it's on Wikipedia. His name is Chow Presley.
Yeah, it keeps going.
Yeah.
Oh, weird. Yeah. Have you guys ever had Vietnamese food?
Yeah.
So good.
What? Like, no one went and got pho when it was a thing?
Vermicelli noodles.
Yeah, dude.
But overall, Vietnamese is great.
Dude, I love fucking Vietnamese food.
The war, though? Pretty sick.
I think of all the wars, you know how like the cold take is like of all the wars best soundtrack. What if the take was like of all the wars most rapes? So,
probably would be.
Okay,
let's have the memory card.
I take exception to that joke.
Exception, very good.
Oh wow,
yeah, man, it's a good thing none of you three have ever made a bad joke in your lives.
No, I'm really good. I've been on the telly.
I'm very worried.
I was on a lineup once. I've been on lineups.
I closed the bracket at Sweeney's.
Lee Mack joke. Or
I like, love Lee Mack.
Where he's like, he's in you know British version of like Harvey Norman, you know, and some goes, "Oh, you're that mad bloke off the telly." And he's like,
"Yeah."
"No, no, no, you're that mad bloke."
Off the telly. Shit, sorry.
I love it.
Yeah, Lee Mack is so funny.
Maybe the funniest.
What's the second episode of the Bunch?
The second episode of this awful little run was...
I think it's getting better.
You guys ever fucked
these up? Three
I want more on the first episode if you want to do that, or do you want to move on?
Go.
You guys ever fucked at work?
Not beat off at work.
I have
at work like a week ago.
I beat off at work.
Well, I mean, like technically, I beat off at work almost every day.
I beat off at work once.
Yeah, you've had sex at work.
in my house.
here's the funny thing, right? An ex of mine, right, would very rarely want to engage in sexy texting.
Sure.
On sexting. But on this day in particular, she wanted to. So I was getting very excited by that.
Sure.
So we were like sexting a bit, and like it came up to my lunch break, and I was just like, I've absolutely got to go. Like, this is pre-coming out, pre-hormones, everything.
Wow.
I'm like, testosterone pumping, I'm like, I've got to
go. Hold on. Did you say pre-coming out or pre-come coming out?
Yeah. No.
Like,
pre-coming out as transgender.
Okay.
Like,
all right.
Pre-hormones.
Pre-coming out.
I mean, maybe pre-coming out. Maybe. But yeah. So I go downstairs.
Man, are you partnered with Sammy J? Because you sound randy.
Oh, I was. But I went down into the downstairs bathroom and just like pounded one out like really quickly.
Fuck yeah.
Jesus. And then I like come out and I'm washing my hands. But that bathroom, we had a bathroom upstairs, but I'm going down to that one because less people go in it. But it was attached to like another sort of business there. It was like a children's charity. And another comedian.
Like an episode of Off Center. You know?
Yeah,
what a regular Liz you are.
Yeah. But another comedian worked in there. And while I was washing my hands, they walked in. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I was fucking. Like,
would you say
20
they're
seconds away.
Would you say they're the funniest comedian you've ever met?
Yeah, up there.
Wow.
Sick, dude.
I didn't fuck at work, but I once worked with someone that we were fucking, and she lived.
When you say we were fucking, who do you mean?
You don't know them.
Okay. I thought you meant like we as in all four of us.
No, just me and Alex.
You would remember.
I remember you telling me the story.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
She lived nearby. She lived literally like 300 meters away in a unit, and we went back in the lunch.
Oh, I remember.
Oh, lunch break rotting. Yeah. That's
fucking great. That actually is tight as well.
Which was amazing because it was like no guilt. There's no like, no one's going to. I feel like if you're going to fuck in an office, and I've been in offices where it's like people, you might be the last two people there. But I could never fuck. So paranoid about someone walking in.
I actually, when I worked at my last like full time job, I came back here one day to fuck during my lunch break.
But that's, you feel calm. You feel like sad. Like,
yeah,
because you know,
I lived like a few minutes walk from
like,
the office.
I can't so fuck like that and be like, oh, so, what the fuck? How could you know?
I have one that like I've told like a brag for years, but it sounds like more sad the more you tell it. It's just like I used to work like a Big W, and like my my ex girlfriend at the time used to like live really close there. So what I would do is like I'd like go on lunch,
jerk off in a mailbox.
Left you a present, sweetie.
I was like,
you missed this, didn't you?
Damn.
You got mail, bitch.
I told you not to tell my stories.
Sorry, man. Stepping on your toes.
So I would like leave like this Big W and like get in my car and I'd order like Pedro's Pizza. It was just like a local pizza chain. And I'd be like, yeah, I'll pick it up. And they'd be like, yeah, it's 30 minutes. So I'd be like, yeah, I'll be there in 29. And I'd go to my girlfriend's house, have sex with her.
Right? Alex, girlfriend? Ex or?
Yeah, well, she's not my current wife. Oh,
girlfriend? No, but girlfriend.
She
at
was
the time.
My girlfriend at the time.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
I'd have sex with her, and she'd be like, that was great. And I'd be like, yeah, I'm hungry. And then I'd get back in my car, drive to Petro's Pizza, pick it up. 27-30 minutes and then take that back to the car parking lot at Big W where it had staff parking, and then I'd eat that in my car, and then I'd go
you
back.
You must have went back into work and be like, I ruined
it. Yeah. Oh yeah,
I got it all done.
Such a,
my life is so good.
Oh yeah. Well, the point of that story is life has not got better.
No, but like,
oh right,
yeah, right, yeah, but then
I had a horrifying revelation one year at the Ingadine Pizza Hut Christmas party.
Scott Morrison shit his pants in there. Yeah, vote out the Libs.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, but...
nah, don't.
No,
my
sister had gotten extremely drunk and
God,
told a story to somebody else who we worked with.
In the family, mum.
No, it was somebody else that we worked with who felt it appropriate to come and tell me that apparently my sister and her boyfriend, who also worked there, were like very frequently rooting on the table that I did all my work.
Oh, fuck
my goodness. Sick. At KFC?
No, in the back of Pizza Hut.
Oh, Pizza.
On the wash
table.
Oh,
that's completely different.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Well, I'm never eating there again.
Man, am I getting some pizza tonight?
Yeah, same. What happens in the second episode?
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah,
no one
what's
asked
your
me.
Point?
I'm the most disgusting person here. I've got heaps on this.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about it. I'm going to go and hang out with
Mac, is right?
Oh yeah, I don't even care. That's
yeah, probably fingering people in meat freezers. Hey, that's not Hatred Family anyway.
That's like the best joke I've ever written.
I'll defend that one till I die. Secretly fat.
I'm not fat anymore though. Also, I don't think that's as good as the other one. Anyway, let's not debate.
That's a great joke.
Which of my shitty one-liners is my best? No, so yeah, I obviously like at Macca's and stuff when I was a kid. I used to get gobbies in the change room all the time.
Obviously.
Yeah, I have to.
But you were talking about not liking being with a partner who doesn't like to sext or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This was like a few months ago. My bloody wife was like, you haven't asked me for nudes in like years. And I was like, all right. So
you sleep next time.
Yeah. That was my argument. But I was like,
you're like, I could be like on the bed and be like, hey, why don't you wear that thing I like? And then be in front of me.
Yeah.
I'd only ask my wife for nudes if like we're in different like cities.
Yeah,
sure.
That's what I would.
But also she knows that I like getting them and I know she likes sending them. So it's like it is one of those things where it's like we both do like that dynamic, but like whatever.
But both from different people.
Well, typically.
I think if that's
only in our relationship it was constant. It was dick pics and nudes.
I think it's
like if Jamie Joana could send me a nude.
I think if
that's not
if that is the dynamic that you're after, then
just
what
for
it should
Jamie's
be,
sake.
If that's the dynamic you're after, what it should be then is surprising the other person with nudes of you rather than like having to ask for them.
Well, no.
You should just one day be like, oh, she's at work. She won't be expecting
them. I think she thought that I didn't want them. So she was like, hey, you haven't asked me for nudes in years. What's that about? And I was like, all right, send me some fucking nudes.
Yeah, I don't think girls are really keen to like send nudes if they aren't wanted. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's a little bit of like...
It's a risky move.
Whoa. It's a risky move.
I've never got an unsolicited tit pic.
I'll say this.
I have.
I'll say this.
Yesterday.
I am currently seeing someone who has chucked me a few nudes, and it's a nice.
I
but like that's different from someone being like, "Here's my fucking titties."
I'll say a faux pas. Like, I'll say a faux pas where I got a nude. Like it wasn't a nude; it was like a bra shot, and I didn't realize it was.
It was me.
The person sending it, I thought it was like a photo of them, the model. Like, does this bra look nice? Do you know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
And
I
was like, oh no!
And I was just like, and not that it looked bad. It was just. Didn't
yeah,
expect
yeah, it's fine.
It. Yeah, and I was like, yeah, that's fine. You know, I mean? I was like, yeah, why are you asking me what your fucking bra looks like? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, buy it.
I ever told this story on the podcast? Like, I've occasionally done stand up about this. I don't feel like I've ever got the bit right, but like years ago, I got like a message just saying wrong number, sorry, from like a number I didn't have, and I just left it because I'm like, yeah, correct, and then the next, it was a bit later, they texted and said, was for my boyfriend, really sorry. So I replied and said, like, I didn't get whatever you're sorry for, but I wish I did.
Oh, my lord.
Damn.
Oh, that's a real Hastings move. Oh,
that's
shit.
A real big
damn, we got a pervert on the podcast.
Man, I'd say, Rose, I respect you more now.
I could have left it there, but I thought it was funny to say.
Respect.
Because this was, like, early days of iPhone or whatever, and I had, like, quite an old one that, like, took... like a long time to receive media sometimes. So the next day, I got a thing from that number that said attachment one video.
Oh,
and it was like, all it was just a close up on like a girl's crotch. And she
all
like,
it was? That's the best in the fucking world.
No, it makes more sense when I tell the rest of it. Like it was just like the crotch shot. She takes the like, underwear aside.
Dear Lord.
Goes to Pussy Town for a bit with her fingers.
Oh, that's
and then
nothing,
ends.
You know, like...
and then ends.
Pretty game.
I'd stand by my initial criticism.
Yeah, I agree.
But the thing is, like...
Goes to Pussy Town for 45 minutes.
But after I'd said, like, I wish I got the thing, she said, like, oh, good, it was a video. Like, nothing more needs to be said or whatever. But I'm like... She was very upset that she had sent this to someone. One, my first question was like, wouldn't you have your boyfriend's number in your phone? But two, was like, she was so upset by it. I'm like, but I don't know what she looks like. That's like the perfect crime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I just know what a vagina looks like in very grainy form. Like,
one time,
wow.
I was...
No tattoos, no like, identifiers.
There was nothing like...
Marks.
There were no great identifiers.
Fuck.
Anyway, so my wife was like, why don't you ask for nudes anymore? So I was like, all right, yeah, please send me some nudes. And I was like, if I'm being honest with you guys, I was like, yeah, sure. I'll pay a bit of lip service to my wife, whatever. I ended up beating off to the nudes. And I was like, I just masturbated to my wife. Like, it's bizarre.
Man, I'm glad we waited for that.
I also had sex in an office a bunch. I won't say when it was, but I was in an office job.
I know exactly when this was.
Hold on. You had sex in an office a bunch?
This was like years and years ago, but more recently, but I won't say when.
More recently.
To not incriminate anyone who like maybe has a partner they were cheating on. Literally, when I fucked in the office, so when I actually fucked in the office, I was like 20. I did it once whenever I went home, and I would work like weekends sometimes, and then like she'd be like, "Oh, you're in the office, I'll come down."
But that scene in this shitty show was like that. They're like, "Oh, no one will see us. It's midnight," and then there's this ridiculous fucking like VHS camera,
which no one has.
No, like, it's not in an office. Like moving down to see and zooming in. Yeah. It's like, this is so stupid.
Like, there's some security guard up in the like talking.
I will say, like, with that episode, like, they did subvert my expectations a little for a 2002 sitcom, because I thought the whole thing would be like,
I thought it was gonna be slut shaming.
I thought it'd be like Liz is a slut, but it turned out to be like Mike's a prude, which I kind of appreciate.
Sort of be like, oh,
they did.
Which, if you've
like,
watched the rest of the show, though, it was like it was pretty good for them.
Big
like,
step up, yeah.
Right.
Okay, episode 11. We had the good, the bad, the lazy. It was in desperate need of an enjoyable career. Mike heads to a career counselor. Meanwhile, Ewan focuses his attention on his new B movie actress. Neighbor.
This has got Jason Biggs.
There's a bit of a Jason Biggs cameo playing Rick Steve, the man with two first names.
Honestly, and like as someone who's not watched the show apart from these two episodes, was
three
Jason
episodes.
Biggs. I never got through the third. I got about halfway through the third. But Jason Biggs is actually really quite funny in this.
Yeah, he's great.
And I think it's almost
which is quite telling that like he was the star of American Pie and Eddie K. Thomas was not.
Really, and you know when you don't know like talent until you see lack of it sometimes. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think like Finch or whatever the fuck the cunt's name is in this show.
Yeah, Mike. Like, we can just call him Finch.
Finch. He's like, you know, he's a straight guy, obviously, like the straight man, but it's like there's no funny. Like, Jason Biggs is like.
He's not a leading man.
Yeah, funny. Jason Biggs is like good in this. He's funny, and that's the funniest I've seen this show, is that scene. And it's not even particularly funny written. He's just a funny.
Yeah.
Whatever. And there's that sort of
I quite like the idea of like. I think the name Rick Steve is actually quite funny.
Yeah.
And then someone who refers to themselves in the third person as Rick Steve.
Yeah. There's a couple of bits where. But he sells it and it's good. And I think that is one of the more redeeming qualities. I think this show, and just to nail this, is the fucking British guy,
Ewan
is the worst character.
Yeah,
oh, he sucks
ever
so much.
Seen
yeah.
any show?
Yeah,
and just it's this
the
weird,
actor, the writing, every element of it is
so unnecessary. A rich British guy thinks
what's
he's
not
hot.
To like.
It's so unlikable, and it's I'm a white guy, British version. You know,
yeah.
It's
yeah. Like, it's he so keeps offering to pay for Mike as well, which yeah. like makes yeah. Mike seem like more of a cuck.
And that's the thing about like bringing back to Seinfeld is like Seinfeld in that show is. He's rich, but he's not really. Like, he is a successful
They keep
comedian.
It quite vague how wealthy he is.
He's not made
they really well, dance around
he lives
it.
In, like, a pretty shitty little basic
well,
apartment.
That,
like,
but it's also, there are plenty of times where they make a point to be like, I've got money, I'll lend you money.
Yes.
That's like a thing Jerry does. Because in real life,
well, he does
a rich guy.
Like, nature,
exactly.
Right.
And also, Friends, it's like the whole thing about, like, they're all losers, but they live in this incredible apartment.
Well, Friends, the whole thing was, like, Monica's apartment was a sublet from her rent-control grandma. So, like, the place was supposed to be, like,
there's also
trying to explain
their way. Well, which is why like Joey and Chandler's is much shitter, but it's also nicer
incredible.
Than most.
But it's also in the same building. Why is there such a stark difference?
I don't know. Like I live in a building. I live in a building where like some places are a lot better than others.
No, but
like,
you would
like,
have
like, this building. Sorry, the building I live in. We're in the blast hole. Is like everything is damn near identical.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I had to go into the apartment across the hall one night just to like check that the gas was off for my fucking landlord.
Yeah,
and. It's like mirror image of
that.
Yeah,
I mean, the point is that you would never get six friends in New York, Manhattan, where five or six of them, whatever, I can't remember.
You wouldn't find people in their 20s living in Manhattan now.
They're all losers. Like, basically, they're all losers.
Like, Ross would have had the best paying job.
No, Chandler. Chandler had a good paying job all the time.
I get, but I'm just
Rachel
saying that
when she was like high fashion, probably won.
But like,
I was just thinking that like because
none of them
like
living in Manhattan, so they
do
like,
government-ish job because it's a museum. Yeah.
Chandler would live in Queens and be good there.
You know what? It's fine. It's a sitcom. They also they can fake it, whatever. Yeah. But they just like the fact that like the reason they did that is because it's not relatable to have rich people on in a sitcom.
Yeah.
This guy. Even the loser guy in the show went to Oxford, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like, immediately you're like, oh, this guy sucks.
They're both elites.
Exactly.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And so then the other guy's like, oh, I went to Oxford, but I'm also rich. And I was like, why would we care?
Yeah.
And that, I feel like it comes out a lot in the episode. Is this the episode where he's like trying to like fuck
the video
the
game.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's a video game one.
There's also an episode of Friends
early on.
This
is
early
the one
on.
Fucking the neighbor. He's trying to fuck the neighbor.
Yeah, but Mike goes for the video game job, right?
No, I'm talking about Ewan. I meant Ewan.
This is the one where Ewan's trying to fuck the neighbor.
And he's like, I'm a bad guy underneath or something. I'm like, this guy's so unlikable.
Yeah. There's also remains so.
Yeah.
For like the whole thing.
Oh, Jason Biggs in this episode.
Funny.
Did you not hear us bring that up like a bunch earlier? This says a lot for like this entire show, right? It's like because like the only people I know, as we've said, who have ever watched this is me, Jamie, and my sister. And my sister, like, I messaged her and was like, "Hey, like, we're gonna do a thing on the podcast where we're gonna watch every episode of Off Center." And all she did was like message back the words Rick Steve. So that's like the memorable thing from the show was that there was a guy called Rick Steve.
Double first name starting with Rick is a thing. Rick Steve, Rick James, Rick Ross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. But the whole thing about having two first names, I feel like it was an old Aussie thing.
Have you ever
I've heard the two first names.
Don't trust someone with two first names. I thought it was an old Aussie.
I think it's just an old stand-up.
Right? Yeah, it's just an old thing. Yeah.
There's an interesting like.
What about don't trust someone with two last names? He's been an AFL player called Campbell Brown.
There is an interesting line in these three episodes about Mike. I feel like, which is the first time that like Mike's interesting, but they kind of throw it all away. Where like Mike, they've insinuated in the episodes before that Mike has this like. Not-for-profit job that's, like, about saving the world. But in those episodes, like, they're never, like, he's super passionate about it and stuff, you know? Mike's the main character. Finch.
Okay, sorry, yeah.
So he's the one that works for the non-profit.
The one he fucks in the office.
So, like, the first bunch of episodes, it's like, oh, right, well, Ewan's rich, but Mike also went to Oxford, and he lives here because he altruistically decided to get a job working for a non-profit. And then the first episode they feature his job, he's like, oh, I fucking hate it.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
he's like, I don't give a shit about these animals.
Yeah, he doesn't care about
so
them.
So hold on.
He's also clearly...
Mike's just like a nihilistic prick.
Yeah, he's
Ten
also...
episodes in, they don't mention his job at all.
They've mentioned it, but it's like, it's assumed that like in the previous episodes that he does it because he cares about the world.
And then the tenth episode is
and
the
then
first,
the first episode where it's actually featured.
The analogue I was thinking is how like in How I Met
also,
Your Mother.
Also, you never hear, I think, I'm fairly certain you never hear until this episode that Liz also works there and is essentially his boss.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
It was kind of like analogous to like how in How I Met Your Mother, like Marshall is kind of like a legal aid environmental lawyer.
Yeah.
But like through that series you discover like that's his passion and he like will sacrifice like getting a high-paying job for that, whereas like Mike is kind of like he wants to save the world, and like the first couple of episodes do a thing where like Mike could have got a better job if he wanted to save the world, but then he's sitting there being like, I'd rather take the day off and hang out with my bros.
And
also my bitch girlfriend works here now and I hate that. She won't kiss me, and then like now I've rooted her, I realize I'll do anything but that. And then he gets that...
They really paint her out to be such a shrew.
Yeah. And then he gets that video game job. And that's where, like, I actually looked up, like, all the writers from the first season.
Yeah.
Because it just has classic, like, old sitcom writer where, like, they don't understand what a video game is.
Oh,
where they're just, like... Mike's, like... impassioned speech is about perspective.
The hand fist.
And in 2002, you're like, yeah, everyone, it's all 3D. Like, it's yeah. either first person or third person.
Like, also, like, the incredibly lazy, ham-fisted way they managed to, like, connect Ewan's job to, like, Mike being in video games is just like, this is...
Yeah.
There was no effort put into this at all.
It's just a bunch of old Jewish guys at a typewriter being like, well, what would a 21-year-old be into?
It's like, also like, I don't know a lot about the video game industry, but my understanding is that it's like an incredibly like passionate and by default like underpaid, overworked, exploited like,
because
workforce.
It's like an artistic pursuit for
a lot exactly. Like it is. Like, there's no way the guys in the office of a video game production company are being like, who gives a shit about the video game? They're all losers getting paid half what they should be getting paid for their qualifications.
Do keep in mind that this was like maybe before like...
Before like Crunch shit started?
Well, before, no, like Crunch was there, but like it was before like AAA prestige games like... were known for being in
America
they
were like starting
well.
Up, but I guess they were also primarily
but, like,
Japanese.
A lot of Japanese, like there were like Doom is American and stuff, but like that was when like video game
Rare was UK still at that time.
Yeah, but it's also like video game
they
culture
had big
then
AAA's
was
though, like,
but that was like celebrated as being like, yeah, it's just a bunch of single dudes eating pizza and coding
right.
all
yeah,
night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not
yeah.
now. Where it's like, oh, it's
yeah,
a bunch
it's like
of,
I miss my wife.
Yeah, it's a bunch of white people like being worked at the death.
It wasn't a $1 billion industry in 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
it
yeah,
was.
Right.
It was. You know.
Yeah, sure. It's like makes more money in the movie industry at the moment. I'm pretty
yeah,
sure.
For sure.
Like yeah.
It, you know, there's probably 150 jobs in fucking America or something.
I mean, yeah, yeah, yeah. It now was, it's like a yeah. yeah
it was an actual industry.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess the point is you can kind of forgive the writers for not really understanding that, but it's also like,
well, whatever.
Make a phone
maybe
call.
Maybe they knew what it was, and they were like, actually, comedically,
yeah,
no
sure.
one would give a shit, and also it makes more sense like this. But it's also, but then it's like. I don't know. I feel like there's things like that where it's like if they're gonna make a if they're gonna you know do something that's you know not correct, make it funny. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Make it over. Make that the joke.
Make that the bit. You know, you can't sort of just like get it wrong and then it's also just stupid. You know, you got to do it for a fucking reason. And I feel like this. I feel like this is like a precursor to like Big Bang Theory. It was like let's have like nerds sort of be the stars and losers, but they can figure it out in a way. Like they just.
But we've said before that even though he's obviously shitty and a loser, like Ewan is probably supposed to be like, fuck yeah, look at that legend.
Yeah, like, but I feel like and again I probably watched 9 minutes of the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, I've watched every episode.
Yeah. And
every episode?
Yeah, I think so.
Of the entire... isn't there hundreds?
Yeah.
God.
Yvette does a thing where she'll get locked into a show for a few months and she'll have it running on the TV 24 hours. Not 24 hours, other than sleep constantly. So 16 hours a day, she'll have it running constantly and just she'll watch the show... start to front 5 times in a row.
To be fair.
And over a few years of her doing that, I've seen every episode.
To be fair, I've had the same experience with Sex and the City where I've never sat down and turned it on, but I think I've seen every fucking episode.
I've definitely seen every episode.
But at least Sex and the City is...
Yvette's working from home at the moment, so she's doing every single day, she does the entire series of 30 Rock.
Right.
Like, I love 30 Rock.
Man, me too. I'm pretty fucking sick of it right now. My big take from me, though, I think the Queen of Jordan episode is like the best episode.
They're very funny.
That's canceled, such a good episode.
Okay, let's move on to the last episode.
I really want to talk about the last episode.
I need to pee, and I have somewhere to be that I'm supposed to be in 3 minutes.
Well, you
we've got like at least a half hour to go.
Okay, so the gas crisis. Mike becomes increasingly comfortable with Liz, which leads to behavior that Liz is not too fond of. He's farting. Meanwhile, Ewan avoids a woman who often breaks his heart, and Status Quo works on a new song with Chow. It's nice to see Status Quo get a bit more time.
Rose, could you confirm for me, is this episode 12,
this
I believe?
Episode 12.
This episode, to me, was notorious because it's the first episode of the entire show that we've seen where Ewan's behavior is not rewarding.
He loses.
Yeah.
He finally loses.
Like, you haven't seen the episodes before this, correct, Alex?
No.
So every time Ewan does something sociopathic in this sitcom, he eventually wins. So it's like, oh, would you believe I lied to two women and I was telling them I was dead, and now they think I'm a rapist. And then, but and then, like, Mike's like, yeah, well, that's what you get, dude. And then Ewan's like, I guess that is what I get. And two women walk out of his bedroom. And they're like, you just gave me the most mind shattering I've ever had.
Like, even episodes where it looks like he's had a big win, he still, or big loss, he still walks off with a victory in some way.
It usually involves him fucking more than one woman in the same night. Like,
that's the best I've ever. Just something funny happened to me the other day where
you gave the woman the best I've ever had. Is that
no?
I'm pretty ready to go.
I just busted.
go pee,
I did. Yeah,
no,
go pee.
I just mean I don't want to hear your shitty story.
I was having sex with a lady and I busted in a condom inside of her. And
yeah, I'm gonna go.
Afterwards, I said, "Oh, did you? Because it seemed like maybe she had." And I was like, "Did you come?"
No, she hadn't.
This was without irony. Her response. I was like, "Oh, did you?" Like, I was like offering to, you know, like I was like, "Oh, I can get in there if you need." But I was like, "Did you come?" And she was just like, "Yeah." I was just like, all right. And then 20 minutes later, she was just like, actually, can you, like, and I was like, all right.
Actually, can you pass me my vibrator? I'm not done yet.
Oh, my God.
Whatever.
Was this in, what state was this in?
This was in New South Wales.
Okay, all right.
Let's
narrow it down. Yeah, let's play Guess Who.
No, I know. I know exactly.
I'm only having sex with one.
Yeah, I know exactly who it is. Two persons in here at the moment. Yeah, I thought this episode was pretty bad, but like,
so hold on, what happens? Because I feel like I did watch some of.
So this is one where like Ewan is trying to get out of dating some chick, so he like wants people to say he's dead. Also at the same time, Ewan has some chick that like always gets the better of him by dumping him. So Ewan preemptively dumps her, and to get back at Ewan, she dates Chow.
Yeah,
and so like she dates Chow for a bit. Chow ends up dumping her. In the meantime, like, Chow's also writing songs for Status Quo, and they're all by rock bands from the 70s. Like,
they all that, or was it just the last one was Carry On?
But, like, that's a decent joke where the woman is like, is that not Journey? And she's like, no, Journey sucks. It's Kansas. Like, that's a good joke if you've got, like, a grasp of
absolute that. Sidebar about the woman. The worst attempt at a British accent I think I've ever heard. Why not hire a British actor or just don't have her be British?
Yeah, Sean Maguire must have been turning so in his bad. Grave. Considering as well,
when
like,
they have a fucking British person there.
Have you seen Avatar?
Green Street Hooligans. Charlie Hunnam.
And
he is British.
No, but he's a Geordie.
Yeah.
He's from Newcastle, and they get him to play a Cockney, and he has the worst Cockney accent. It's like,
we can't even do a bit of fucking Danny Dyer.
Yeah, but it's like that. It's like, it's any of us doing a Cockney accent, and it's like, they don't understand.
Right,
they're like, oh, he's British, you're fucking... And it's
don't think I'm not covered, but I just can't do it, eh?
Britain has... There's an accent every 40 minutes, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's
yeah.
so ridiculous, and it's so off-putting...
Yeah. It's like, where are you from? And they're like, 40 minutes up the A4. And yeah, it's like, why do you sound so different?
Been up the road there watching old Kingston Rovers.
Yeah, why do you sound like you have a
mental
disability?
That is hilarious. Like, that means, because like, if that means, like, Jamie, you're not even from Australia. Rose, the driving distance between where I was born and where you were born would be like an hour and a half, maybe?
Yeah.
And Alex, three hours, let's say, from Sydney to Newcastle.
I'll tell you why. Right now, radio.
Ah.
Before radio, you never listen to anyone but from literally 10 kilometers around where you're from. As soon as radio
the
came
fits
out,
the whip.
You could listen to people hundreds of kilometers
Kentucky
away.
Chick.
So Australia came on board.
Like white people have been in Australia for like 230 years.
Yeah, but radio's been around for long enough. But no, the point was, the radio thing is true. It's like, that's why Australia doesn't have accents. And in England, everyone grew up in
there
Bristol.
There are vague differences.
There are, it's nowhere near as big. And
it's not a difference between like, come from up there north and then like, hello there, all right, I've been doing
it. But it's also like, you might hear radio in Sydney and radio Melbourne and stuff, but it's like literally like, there's like 30 kilometers,
radio
40
Melbourne's
kilometers.
A bit my yarn based.
Yeah, it's very yarn based.
True,
there's a lot of fucking...
Yeah.
A lot of fucking security guards down there, apparently. You know? Hastings on the door, you know, like fucking people.
Man, I would love to root someone in quarantine.
Imagine if a friend of the show came back and then it was just like, someone fucked the door guy at Powerbomb and gave it COVID to everyone. It's like, Hastings.
Did you see a friend of the show and former guest Eloise Eftos got like a...
Yeah, she's gone viral, dude.
She got picked. Yeah, but it didn't,
fake
though.
Fake porn.
No, just pedestrian picked
it up. Pedestrian picked it up. But then you went on there and you're like, oh, you don't even have like 1,000 likes.
All right, well, like, cool way to call her out publicly.
No, but like, wow. But it's just like,
I love Eloise.
Man, Eloise is
oh, the Eloise is the fucking
Rose,
best.
I love Eloise. Cut that.
No, Eloise is the best. But like, I just find
cut
it
this.
Weird that like,
cut again.
Like they picked up something. Like normally there'd be a yardstick or something like that.
Well,
they
also kind of like picked her and tried not to credit her at first. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
That was just
like
someone did this. Yeah. And it's yeah. like, all right, I just fucking yeah. say it was it.
Okay, right. So we've talked about these episodes. We do a little thing at the end of the show where we're like, we got a little writer's room going, Alex.
All right.
Where we're like rewriting this show to fix it. And so
more
far
egg puns.
But you're the first guest that's the dishonorable trait of being a white male.
Oh my
god.
Oh goodness,
yeah, true. We've had a woman and
we've had an indigenous man.
All right, let's flagellate me.
so far I've got some selfies. Basically what we've changed is Mike and Liz have broken up, so Liz has some agency.
Oh yeah, they're being canonical as we get through them, so yeah. That's happened.
Mike and Liz have broken up and David Woodhead has changed Mike.
Mike is now Muslim.
Mike's a Muslim guy,
because this is in the very recent, like this show started.
You're making
like,
me
but this show started like a month after 9/11.
Oh, I thought he said Dave Woodhead said that, and I'm like, wasn't he like 4 months old? No,
sorry. Yeah, no, there was a kid at my work who was born on like 9/11, but like the 9/11.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Does he feel guilty? Because I would.
Yeah. Well, he was born on the plane.
Yeah. Yeah,
he made it out.
But yeah, this show came out like literally like a month after 9/11.
No survivors except for a 1 day old baby.
So Mike,
he thinks it'd be more interesting, and I agree that.
And it's canon now.
Yeah, it's canon now.
Mike is
now Muslim.
Mike is a Muslim guy reckoning with New York and a post 9/11.
Yeah, living in New York.
The other big thing is that Status Quo has come out as a homosexual.
Because we theorized that he was originally supposed to be gay, and then someone nixed that idea.
Yeah, you probably haven't seen that much
I
of
saw
Status Quo.
A few clips of him, and I'm like, who's this guy? But I don't see color. So,
well, so our thing was like the previous episode, like my Ewan was like kind of like, why do people think I'm bloody gay? I'm just British.
Yeah,
and then like Status Quo is like, that's incredibly hurtful because like I actually am gay. So like Ewan and Status Quo grew closer together. And also, yeah, Mike's just a Muslim guy that misses Liz and is Muslim. And we've kind of positioned it where Chow, because John Cho is the best performer, he's the breakout star of the show.
Yeah.
Right.
So he's... What are you doing? You're playing music on your fucking phone?
An ad just started playing on my phone.
Yeah, because you're on your phone.
It's onlyfans.com trying to donate more money.
No, it was my shitty Photoshop app because I'm editing someone's name out of a screenshot.
Beyond the podcast.
For a minute, I was like... Give him the benefit of a doubt. He's trying to do a bit for the podcast.
No.
So... That's not excellent.
I bring
so
much content to this podcast.
Well, could you try it now?
Yeah.
You know what?
I actually have something in the barrel.
No, you know what? You are exempt from the podcast.
ding, ding, ding.
Thank God. Finally.
So we're writing an episode, a new episode. What do you want to do, Alex? And this will be canon for the rest of it.
You can either make an entirely new episode or fix one of these episodes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Working in the framework that we already have, that Mike's Muslim, he's broken up with Liz.
God, we might actually get a really
gay.
Good episode out of this because Hastings, the usual fucking nuisance in the writer's room.
Well, Hastings
just
is
AWOL at
Hastings
the
is a nepotism hire.
I just tweeted the thing I was working on, so it's all good.
The guy who owns the network made me hire Hastings.
Right, okay. They're like, you need to diversify.
Man, great time to tweet, hey, at 8:09 on a Saturday night. That's going to rake in the likes.
I'm replying to someone else's.
Otherwise,
tweet.
I would have got a lot.
Got him.
I think I have the most followers here.
Keep making sound effects.
I think Rose does.
Keep making sound effects.
Okay, I got it. There we go.
What was the original gag that wears this air horning that I don't get a lot of likes on my tweets?
No, Hastings.
I don't care that much.
say how many likes you got on your last tweet.
Yeah, sure. All right. My last tweet got a grand total of, let me just bring up my profile. My last tweet got a grand total of 6 likes.
Oh, wow. That's the sad noise.
Not the sad noise.
Not the sad trombone. Noise.
I don't know how I'll ever recover from this.
So, Alex, do you have any ideas about an episode of Off Center that we want to do? Well, it's all of us. We've all got to think of one. On, so, with an A story and a B story.
Mango's Muslim.
Yeah. Is this crazy?
At 9/11 just happened.
Okay. I've got an idea. Is this crazy?
No, I got on. Status quo is an Ethiopian Jew.
But no, but he's also gay.
Well, you can double down, you know?
Yeah.
But like, I think we want to keep him as a rapper, though.
Oh, okay. So he can't be a rapper, an Ethiopian Jew, and gay. Okay, fair enough. All right, no.
I feel like that's just too much going on.
That's fair enough. But I wanted the Muslim Jewish thing happening. But okay, fair enough.
Well, why don't you just make like you and...
Okay. He's a... Hold on. I wanted...
Ewan could be Jewish.
I want Chow to be a...
England doesn't
a
have Jews.
Yeah,
they do.
I'm Jewish.
A trillion Jews.
Kidding.
Yeah. I reckon Ewan could be Jewish. Ewan's Jewan.
And then if...
Jewan Pierce.
Mike is a Muslim, that's funny because there's an Israel Jew thing happening.
Yeah, so... But what's the story?
How do we get along and live in the same apartment?
Exactly.
But what's the story idea here?
Yeah, you need the story.
So I have to progress a story.
Well, we all do.
I've got maybe a B-plot. For this episode, I would like to explore. This happens often in sitcoms, and why can't we do it in ours? Chow and Liz fuck. And then they got to deal with the fallout.
Interesting.
They go and get pissed. They root each other.
I think that would be good.
Hold on, to be fair, they're not dating.
Yeah, no.
Who's Liz
then? She's just a random chick.
No, Liz is the main character.
Yeah, but she's
female
not dating
lead.
The main
no,
character.
No, but she's broken up.
Yeah, we've made her
oh,
own
yeah, she's,
character.
Oh, she's Elaine. She's the Elaine type. She's like friends.
But she's still friends with them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, okay.
That would be a good
Elaine because all she is in the show is there to create problems for Mike and the others. So we're making her own fucking character.
Having
that's
her and,
absolutely, I agree with that.
Having her and Chow fuck would be a good way to maybe get status quo involved as well. Because he could be like
because she can, or both
her gay
of them,
confidant.
Both of them can confide in status quo.
Oh, that's a funny plot that they're both confiding but different things.
What do you mean?
Like they're both like, but like Liz is like, Chow's not got a huge penis, and Chow's just like, well, she's got like too tired of pussy, you know, like. They're both
but not like that. Like it could be like something like innocuous that's weird. Like
yeah,
she made this noise.
Yeah, that
like,
was an example. Like,
but also they're confiding in it. Like, hey, what do I do? Like, Mike's gonna find out about this and be really upset. Like,
whereas status quo has to balance everything.
I reckon. So hold on. Mike and Ewan live together. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yep.
I reckon. I reckon Mike decides. Now, who's Jewish? Ewan.
Ewan's
now
Jewish.
Ewan decides to like take a little bit of Mike's room. Just a little bit.
That's a sitcom plot.
That is very sitcom.
A little bit, okay? And he just turns up and he's like, no, I'm in here.
Now. Oh, God. Yeah. We should have known, Alex.
It's like, well, actually.
Seriously.
And then he's like, what are you trying to say? Are you anti-Semitic?
That's a good sitcom plot.
Though. Yeah.
That is a plot out of like the era that this sitcom should have been from. Like,
Mike comes in.
Like, it's like a 2000 sitcom that should have been in the fucking 70s.
Ewan comes in and paints a white line down my room. Yeah. He's like, this is
and
my then,
but,
territory.
And Ewan, but Ewan's like, well, actually, because I lived in this apartment a few years ago and I moved out, and like this was kind of
my room
back
exactly.
then. So it's like, you can get most of the room, but I just want to have this little part. Like, I just, you know, it's special.
He starts calling part of the apartment the DMZ, the D-miked zone.
how do we resolve that? I like D-miked zone.
Well, we need
DMZ would probably be the name of the episode.
We need a very American person to turn up and just kick the shit out of the Jew. I forgot the Jew's name in this all.
You
American Pie guest star, Sean William Scott.
No, kick the shit out of
the Palestinian.
Muslim. Sorry, yeah.
You want a hella American character guest star, Sean William Scott? Because
so
they get American Pie people in
that is perfect.
Lot.
He lives across the road, and he's a pro.
He's a Navy SEAL.
He's a Navy SEAL, and he's like, you know, he's, you know, got the fucking, like, you know, speed dealer sunnies on, and he's got a mullet, and he's wearing like a cape that's got the American flag on.
Yeah, he keeps calling him Iraqi.
So he's Stifler. He's Stifler.
He's
from
like
old school.
He's like the real estate.
Yeah, he's that.
He's like the real estate agent or something. He's like, fuck you, you fucking.
Yeah,
I don't want to
overload Jamie's CPU when he edits this episode because there's a lot.
I'm not editing this.
So is that the what I've added is that Ewan is a British Jew.
Yeah,
yeah,
and that there's a
he's annexing Mike's room. Yeah,
is this maybe a very special episode?
No.
It feels like a very special
episode.
Full-blown
comedy, baby.
It feels like a very special episode.
I think the last episode was a very special episode.
Canon is he's Jewish, and then one episode is that he is trying to annex his
room. Yeah, I think this is just pure comedy.
I think that's hilarious.
All right, that's it. That's all I'm adding.
Do you have any plugs, Alex?
No, man. All my natural hair, so...
How long have you had that in the chamber?
No.
Hey, go on to Alex's Facebook page and watch some of the sketches he did.
They're good.
Hey, Sings, are you gigging?
Yeah.
Jamie shows up in one of them.
And
Hastings is referenced in one or two
That
wouldn't be like you.
No, I wanted to make a fake preview of a documentary about you. That was in the style of Firefest. Wouldn't allow it.
And you get like,
I think it'd be very funny.
You get a girl to walk in, and I walked into that room fully prepared to suck his dick.
Exactly. I think it'd be very funny.
You got to understand that you up was a combination.
Walk yourself out of this one.
I'm not walking myself out of shit. The thing about you are is of all the things I've made as an adult, that's the hardest I've worked at anything. I'm not done.
Do you remember earlier when you were like, I work very hard in comedy? And I was like, very hard?
Yeah, that's incredibly offensive. it's been my entire adult life. With you are is I worked very, it was a combination of it being the hardest I'd ever worked at anything, but it was like just after I lost a job and just before I got married while watching Jamie run a comedy festival, essentially.
Yeah.
but that night was like so disappointing for me. It's so frustrating. I think it was a good show. The end result wasn't amazing. But, like, the work I put in was good and I'll be able to reuse it and stuff. But, like, I, like, was so, in retrospect, so transparently self-sabotaging. I was so high. I was so drunk.
I saw you guys when I got there and you were blind.
Yeah.
What is going on?
I slept an hour the night before. It was stupid. I was so stupid. I'm furious at myself.
So, right? Follow me on Instagram and Twitter.
It's an upsetting thing for me.
Exactly. And I don't mean to pile on, but I think if you're going to do another one, you gotta market it as the first one, that's what happened. The second one, come watch.
Yeah.
And I think that
I probably will.
Like,
I probably
fucking everyone, especially in Australia, I think everyone loves an underdog.
Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, that's not been my experience.
Because you haven't risen yet.
I guarantee everyone will
come. It's time for me to release the audio.
You don't own the audio. I own the audio.
Oh man,
I
think a fine possession is 9/10
the law. Supreme Court of New South Wales.
Just record me and release without my permission.
Well, you told me to record it.
Yeah, I didn't tell you to release it though. Possession is 9/10 the law. What happens with it?
Look, I'm so late for this place. So we got plugs.
Thank you, everybody.
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. It's at Rose Alice Piper. Follow us. We'll just tell you whether we ate it all on Facebook. We are We Ate It All on Twitter, where We Ate It All podcast on Instagram. This is something we never say. Like and subscribe, please. Also, I've been meaning to say this. If you are like going through the arduous fucking task of watching all these episodes with us, please tell us. Let us know if you're doing that as well.
Do not tell us if you're not. It will just bum us out.
I don't want to hear that.
Don't tell us if you're not listening.
Yeah, please.
Do you guys have anything?
Yeah, I'm doing...
When's this going to come out? This is
I don't know, like two weeks. Everly Comedy's back. Come every Sunday.
Comedy's on.
I'm on Twitter on Jamie Kirk Comedy. I don't tweet, but if you want me to release the You Up audio...
What's weateitall69@gmail.com. Hit us up there.
DM me. If I get 5 requests, I will do it.
And the Supreme Court doesn't rule against him.
Does that include listener Ross Brackets from Friends Facebook DMing me?
No, it has to be entirely new listeners.
But if he DM'd me on Facebook and said...
I suppose he could do it, yeah.
Okay.
But then I still have to ask Hastings and disregard him.
Yeah. Tell you what, Ross can ask me. How about that?
Yeah, ask Hastings.
Or he can ask me.
Or you can ask Hastings.
Because I have the footage.
Okay. Well, I'm just to add to the it's not footage, it's audio. Don't
It sounds
promise.
Great.
Don't tell me about it. I'm still not. Yeah, I'm still not there yet.
You should listen to it.
I will eventually. I think there's like salvageable parts potentially.
You'd be wrong.
To the next step.
I'm never collaborating with any of you ever again. That's very funny.